Let's give them something to talk about. I see the energy running out. I got a planet to run around. Okay, okay. You ain't do nothing but run your mouth. No, I don't want to be humble now. You doubted me, nothing to talk about.
10 minutes late on take three.
Third time's a charm.
Third time's a charm.
It's live.
Yeah,
my computer's charged.
We tried this yesterday. We made it about 10 minutes in and realized Jamie's computer was dying.
Well, we tried to switch it out.
We did. We have our Rode. He basically does the production because he's got the Rodecaster podcast thing attached to his computer. His computer dies, this whole thing drops, all our sound. So we tried to switch computer. We got this old POS Mac AirPods.
It's probably like 10 years old.
We definitely need a new computer for that, for the guest computer. So we tried to hook that up. It wouldn't support it. We had to switch to mine. It was a mess. And so we lost our tempers. I did. I lost my temper. So we shut it down, tried to restart it. We restarted. This is the best. We restarted, talked for
at least 30, 40 minutes.
40, 45
you
minutes.
You know what? I'll take part of the blame on that one because I should have looked up at the timeline because it would have said if we were live or not.
Oh, that's right.
Because I'm looking at it right now and it's given us our timeline. Yeah. Once you mentioned the time and how long we went for, I realized I didn't even notice that there was no time.
So because everything switched over to me, I was responsible for starting the actual session. You have to click a button to start the session. Otherwise, it'll just show you.
You have to press it twice.
Yeah.
Right. You push it once and then you actually ready to go live. And then there's a little bit of a lull period.
Yeah. So I didn't push anything. And so we talked for 45 minutes.
It's a good conversation.
Because the StreamYard is awesome, and it just shows you talking, but you don't realize you're not live. Yeah, so we're live now.
And we had Zia on. Yeah, she was on vacation.
Poor thing. We talked for 45 minutes with Zia. She's on vacation. She gave us the time, and then we got done with it, and Jamie Lee goes, okay, end it. And I go to end it, and it says, start the podcast. It says, start session. I'm like, oh, shit, we didn't even start it.
Anyway, it's not the first time that has happened before.
Fortunately, this has given us some time to think about what we're going to talk about and the new season structure for the CrossFit Games. Yeah. There's things we really like, and then there's some things that we have questions about.
Unanswered stuff.
Yeah, so some unanswered stuff and some concerns that we have as well about it. And then I've talked to a number of people about it so far. I've talked to athletes. I've talked to affiliate owners. And gotten some perspective, and so it's.
What would you say is the common theme now?
I think the common theme is everyone's relieved that it's out.
Yeah,
they like the common theme is that they like the judging part of it. So yeah. We can talk about that. Yep. I didn't put that up on our board, and they like the most part like the 3-week structure, but I want to talk about that a little bit too. So the new season structure, so if you haven't seen it, is a 3-week structure that they announced. It starts the last weekend in February, just as it always has for the last few years. And then it has also the, here's the part that has me a little concerned, is that registration doesn't begin until January 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's cool is, and what other folks didn't see, is that CrossFit also did a town hall on earlier in the day yesterday and gave all of the affiliate owners a list of all the tools that are going to be available to help them promote it. Mm. So there's a whole bunch of...
It's like a whole toolkit.
Yeah, there's a whole toolkit. There's media content and everything else. And then in addition and stuff that they can post. But in addition to that, there's some stuff on how to do an intramural open, that kind of stuff. And then they're going to do a series of calls that are available for owners to get on and kind of learn how to run the open a little bit better in their affiliates.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing when, I go places, people ask, I've been on panels before, like how at the CrossFit Games, I was on a panel for how to run a
intramural
open. Mm-hmm. And there's people that are like, wow, that's really good ideas. And we get so immersed in our day to days that, by the time we poke our head up, go, oh shit, the open's here. I want to do an intramural open. Yeah. By then, often it's too late. You can't find a person that ran a good one. Mm-hmm. So having that content available is pretty cool.
Is that located in the affiliate toolkit?
Yeah, it's in the affiliate toolkit.
That's cool.
And maybe when we get going here, I can pull some of that stuff up. Okay. I have it.
I think I can get access to this.
Somewhat available-ish. But anyway, so that was cool. So they announced it to the affiliate owners, and that was a really neat, nice show of respect for the affiliate owners.
Yeah.
And the call was so fast. I really liked the call because it was just short, sweet. They had no fluff, no bullshit. Just, hey, affiliates, here's what we got. Here's what we're doing. Here's the season. Dave was on. He goes, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. And then, here's all the tools that you can use to run it. And here's how we're going to promote it. That was cool.
That's nice. Streamlined.
Streamlined. Yeah. So now, let's get in, put that, season map back up. If you will. And let's just go one by one.
Okay. So individuals open.
Yeah. So the individuals open. So it, well, let me just to recap the whole thing. And this is something I like that Dave did, is basically it's open semifinals games.
Yep.
Open semifinals games for everybody. Yep. Open semifinals games. So they removed the quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. And then they staggered the weekends for each of the divisions. Mm-hmm. Individual
for the qualifiers.
Yeah, for the semifinals.
So, I mean, for the qualifying round to the games, essentially.
The semifinals.
Okay. Right.
And we're calling it the in-affiliate semifinals.
It'll take me a minute just to kind of get my terminology rewound.
And I really like the language that they use, the in-affiliate semifinal. Yeah. In-affiliate semifinal.
That's a key point.
And yes, it's a play on language. Yes, it's an online, but it has to happen in the affiliate. And why that's important, we'll get to that with when we get to judging and the rules for judging for those things.
So does that mean that you cannot do it from your garage?
Correct.
You have to do it in an affiliate.
Yes.
Got it.
Or you can go get your garage affiliated.
Yeah.
And that takes out a lot of the... Mm-hmm. So if you think about it in terms of a circle, in the middle of the small circle is the guy that's in the affiliate, the guy or girl that's in the affiliate, doing the workout, video is correct. They've got a judge. It's a level one, taking the advanced judging course, judging them, and they're doing everything right. That's in the middle of the circle.
Yeah.
If you expand that circle.
Yeah.
You've got
a little bit more disconnect.
Shitty videos. Right, where the video's not great,
cut up,
video cut, the judge walking in and out, you know, the normal stuff that happens, right? In, I don't know, let's say 20 to 25% of videos. Then you go one circle further than that, and you go, now you got the guy at home doing it at home with a recorder, and then scaling it, not doing showing all the angles,
missing standards.
Yeah, they're taking, and that was probably 20% of all videos.
That's kind of crazy if you think about it.
So they're eliminating that.
Yeah.
That is gone. That circle is gone. Yeah. So now all we have is that inner circle, people doing it right. And then the people, outside that circle where that's a good point. They're getting a little sloppy.
Yeah.
So it's an in-affiliate semifinal. Here's the other thing I like about it. I've said this repeated multiple times, and I'm going to continue to repeat it because it's something that's near and dear to my heart. The affiliates are the indoctrination centers for everything that is CrossFit, whether it's level ones, sending people to level ones, whether it's creating athletes that go into the games, whether it's coaches, creating new affiliates. We're the indoctrination centers. More than that, we're indoctrination centers for the fans, the people that love and support this entire sport and support the athletes and follow the athletes. We are that. So having this and labeling this in affiliate semifinal is really meaningful to me personally. Mm-hmm. The question I got from a couple people that messaged me is, the open can do be anywhere because it doesn't say in affiliate open. No.
Like you could do it at another affiliate.
Yeah. They were asking me, you don't have to do it in an open period, or you don't have to do it in an affiliate because the open, if you look on this list here, it just says open.
Okay.
And that's because that's a...
Oh, okay. So that kind of answers my question. Like you could potentially do the open in your garage.
No. No, you cannot.
Okay.
That does not answer your question. What I'm telling you is it's in the affiliate. They just don't have that label on there because of branding.
Okay.
Because it's the CrossFit Games Open.
Yeah.
It's the CrossFit Games Open. It's always been an affiliate. It's in an affiliate. Mm-hmm. You have to do the open in a CrossFit affiliate. Mm-hmm. And that keeps, standards tight as well.
Yeah.
It's just that the open has always been the open. They're not going to change the name of the open to in affiliate open.
Oh, I see.
They could have put in parentheses open in the affiliate, but same that wouldn't fit well in this graph.
It wouldn't be make such a pretty picture.
But I like the name of in affiliate semifinal.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
The wheel wad semifinal though is different. And that's because of adaptive athletes. Mm-hmm. And I think they're probably going to run semifinals. They might run semifinal events themselves, or yeah. authorize people
like to, in-person competitions.
Yeah, or authorize people to do that.
Yeah. More logistics to go yeah. into that one too.
Right. So on the we go from the open, which is in affiliates, to in affiliate semifinals. I love. They take out the quarterfinals. Let's talk about that first mm-hmm. before we even get to the
removing
next stage.
The quarters.
Yeah, removing the yeah. quarters. What's your take on removing the quarterfinals and the 10%?
I think it definitely eliminates a lot of people.
Yeah.
If you think of it from that perspective.
Well, yeah.
As far as the strain on the affiliates, I think that's going to be a little bit easier.
Yeah, I think it's a bummer for some people.
It's a bummer for some people, but at the same time, if you think about those that when we went from 10 to 25%, it took away the kind of the how awesome it is to move on to that quarterfinal, because it does expand so much to let so many other people into the movement, into the work, into that sequence.
Right.
And like Zia said yesterday, it that was what people was calling a money grab. Right.
Right.
So this one just kind of it kind of streamlines a little bit more back to the tip of the spear. Right. It's bringing it back to the more elite athletes to then have an opportunity to move forward.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. So, you know, my first response there's two responses I have. One is an affiliate owner that has to my first response is the affiliate owner that has to run the quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm.
That was exhausting.
Yeah.
For us, because
a lot of people to go through that.
We had a lot of people. And let me just stay with the affiliate owner side of it. We had a lot of people go through it. So then we had to coordinate all these times when people could come yep. in. We were keenly interested in being in that inner circle,
mm-hmm.
which is the inner circle of the athlete that's doing it right with the right camera yep. angles, with the right
set
judge.
Set the example.
Set the example. So
the standard.
So Yvonne, my wife, and I, and Jamie Lee, our head coach and other coaches were here a lot to make sure that was happening.
Yeah.
And each time they set up we're trying to do it without imposing upon our members who are just coming here from class.
Community, yeah.
What percentage of people of our membership would you say qualified and we're doing quarterfinals?
I don't know percentage wise, but I want to say we had around 50 athletes doing
okay.
the quarterfinals, and it wasn't just the individual quarterfinals, right? It was like you had three different weekends of quarterfinals. So it was, I mean, not just a bunch of
right.
strain on it,
right.
just being one weekend.
Right.
It was one weekend, you know, weekend off, then it was another weekend, yeah. you know, weekend off. So it really kind of took over a lot of time from us as affiliates. The athlete, it was a lot to take on.
And there's you know, in every CrossFit gym, there's probably 80 to 90% of the members that are coming in that just don't care about the games,
yeah.
That's cool because they're here for themselves yeah. and for the community. And those that are here for the games, it's fun that they're making it a sport, but what we don't want them to do is impose upon our regular community. So, and that's what was happening. We'd come in and they would like take over part of the main gym area
yeah.
where class was happening. But I remember them walking, and they're so nervous, right? These
yeah.
people that have never done
quarterfinals. It's almost like a certain amount of tunnel vision that comes up just because of like the stress of this event,
yes.
and you're thinking so much about what I've yeah. got to focus on, and you kind of lose sight of what else is going on.
They would walk right through class set up their tripod.
I remember that.
For their
setting up a tripod right next to somebody who's rowing who's in class currently.
Yeah. And so... So as an affiliate owner from that perspective,
those are the challenges.
I'm happy to have that gone.
Yeah.
Not have to worry about that.
Yeah.
However, there were a lot of members that really wanted to make the 10%. They were stoked they did. There
yeah.
were some members that were like, I didn't make it this year. I was on the cusp. I want to make it next year. That's a bummer.
That was when it was 10%. And then when they yes. moved it to 25%.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, 25%.
That was, yeah. So that, like, we've been through a lot of different variations the last
yeah, we have.
4 years.
No,
it's constantly varied.
Diablo's 18 years into this, dude. We've been through every variation.
Yeah, yeah.
Sanctional, sectional.
We've seen 6 week opens.
Regionals.
Which turned into 7 weeks.
Six weeks, which were 7 weeks. They had a repeat. We've seen it all. So we're used to change. So people say, well, you know, CrossFit, this never gets right. You know, they're always changing. Change is like, that's what CrossFit, if you look in a Greek dictionary and you look up CrossFit, it says change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, this is all we always do. It should be CrossFit Games, because CrossFit itself, the methodology hasn't changed.
CrossFit methodology hasn't
CrossFit
changed.
CrossFit Games.
The games.
is like,
which is a byproduct of CrossFit, and it kind of falls into that concept of constantly varying.
And you know what though, I'm okay with that. And here's everybody needs to remember this, and this is the thing that drives me crazy. The fittest people, the fittest athletes in the world are going to end up at the games. Yep.
Regardless.
And the person that wins at the end of the day is going to be the fittest person in the world. And it's going to be the one that we know, or all of us can pretty much guess who it's going to be.
Yeah.
And then we're probably all going to be right. It's that person. Don't worry. That person's going to make it to the games.
They'll be there. Wherever it is.
This system is not going to eliminate those people.
No. If anything, it's going to kind of push them a little bit further along, which in a sense makes the season a little less daunting.
Yeah.
Because you don't have all these other qualifying things that you have to lean through through.
That's the point that Zia made, right? Yeah. So, you know, a lot of fans are lamenting the loss of the in-person semifinals.
True.
Because it was fun to go
watch.
Which
in a sense is a bummer.
Yeah, that is a bummer. Yeah. Because some of those are awesome. And there are going to be some of those still in place. And you and I, we can talk about it, because let's try and guess what a couple of them are. I know which one. But there's some that, you know, I saw and I went to where the stands were mostly empty.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it's in the U.S. If you look at the one that they held at the Home Depot Center this last year, there was hardly anybody there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the reason for that is that we've been there, done that, mm-hmm. right? CrossFit is very mature in the United States. We've been to the regions. We've seen the regions. We know it's expensive to get there. Yeah. Like you're going to be sitting there all day. You're watching athletes work out. It's not that the sport is dying.
Yeah.
It's that we've been there, done that.
Well, if you think of it from the regionals or in-person semifinals, when you look at this little detail right here, the in-person qualifying events are going to go from April through June. So in-person competition. If that's 15 to 20, that's just going to replace the semifinals. So if you think about having to qualify to the semifinals, it's just that's an added avenue to an in-person environment, which would essentially replace the semifinals or what we would call a regionals back in the day.
Right. So we're talking about the individual qualifier now. So there's an in-person semifinal, in-affiliate semifinal, right? That's May 1st through the 4th.
Yeah.
April through June, there's several events that are going to be allowed that will also allow athletes to qualify. The in-affiliate semifinal will qualify 15 to 20 athletes per division. Mm-hmm. There's a total of 30 athletes that are going to the games.
Okay.
So half to two-thirds of them may qualify through the in-affiliate semifinals. Then there's going to be a series of events, or there's going to be events that, and I think these are events that CrossFit either committed to in the past or they know they're going to sell out. Let me give you an example. The Torium Pro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one. The French Throwdown.
Yeah. I know that, and I know who runs the French Throwdown, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
he's a good dude.
Yeah,
and he knows what he's doing. He's going to fill that place up.
Or what's the one here on the east?
There's Syndicate Crown.
Yeah,
another one.
Yeah,
right?
Syndicate Crown.
Yeah,
will probably go too.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're losing these semifinal in-person competitions.
No. Hang on a second. It's not like we're losing. It's not like we're losing the good ones.
True.
They're basically gonna take away. They're gonna take away the shit ones.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
Which
should happen, and that's what you do when you're running a good business.
Yeah,
you don't try and force another freaking Wadapalooza thing down in Los Angeles at the Home Depot. So you don't try and force that again.
Yeah. Another thing to think about too is this in affiliate semifinal. This doesn't come down to kind of a regional situation as far as like an online qualifier. So when you look at some of the past regional or semifinal events that are, you know, the Asia semifinals, like that are qualifying one or two people, how well are those people doing in the games? Like this, we might actually see more fitter people showing up to the games this way.
I agree.
So not have it like it, when you have those regional locations, they're allowed to have X amount of people just because it's representing that region of the earth. Right.
Yep.
This way, whatever 15, 20 are actually going to be some of the fitter athletes moving on versus just because of their location.
Yes. Good point. And that I think has been argued strongly
a lot. That's been a big athlete.
Yeah. You know, you got someone that,
so that alone makes this process, we're getting a fitter people to the games.
Yes.
Right out of the gate.
Agreed.
That's cool.
I agree with that. Unless they put some sort of country. I don't think so. That would suck.
Yeah.
That would suck. I think what they'll do is they'll give those athletes maybe an Asia semifinal. They'll give them the chance to get there.
I mean, they might have a competition, one of those in-person competitions there.
That's right.
So there's still going to be an avenue for them to get to it.
But it should be, and everybody has said this, the 30 athletes should be the 30 fittest athletes in the world, not someone that's just given a chance because they come from a different country.
Yeah, just because they're in that regional location.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
So open in affiliate semifinal, then some in-person semifinals, which I think those will be fun, and it'll give the fans stuff to view too, because some of those are really cool to watch and exciting. And we'll see some, and then we'll maybe, you know, look, they're going to run them until June, which means there's going to be some last chance shit going on.
Oh, that's true.
Right.
So, and you also wonder if there are people who are going to be able to, you know, like, make it in affiliate, you can go to maybe multiple.
Yeah.
Curious what the qualifying is going to look like. Are they going to use the open scores as a possible data point too? Yeah. Like,
So to get to the semifinals, by the way,
you have the minor detail.
Yeah, minor detail. To get to the semifinals as an individual, you have to be in the top 1%.
I mean, it was funny. We went from 10% to 25% down to 1%.
Down to 1%.
But we got rid of the quarterfinals. So
top 1% worldwide.
Yeah.
Not by region.
Not by region.
Yeah. Top 1%.
Yeah.
So the top
fitter athletes go into the games.
Sure. So yeah, we're talking about 3,000 to 4,000 athletes in that range. 3,000 to 4,000 total athletes. Probably 1,500 of each.
Yeah. That's exciting.
That is exciting.
That's exciting.
And it means the open matters. And a lot of people, that's one thing that a lot of people complain about, that the open doesn't matter. The open doesn't matter. Well, the open matters now.
Yeah.
You can't fuck around with the open. Like, making the top
three. The open matters. The affiliate matters.
Granted, I'll give you the top athletes, the top 100 athletes in the world, the top 250 athletes in the world. You know, making the top 1% is no big deal.
Yeah.
But it's going to be cool for the people that are just kind of on the fringe. And those are the ones we want to try and encourage to come up.
Yeah.
Let's go to the teams, because this is the one I crack up about. And I love teams. Diablos had teams at the games many years, and many teams to their semifinals. It goes open in affiliate semifinal, open in affiliate semifinal. And that is the weekend before the individual in affiliate semifinal. Okay, so it's April 24th, 27th. They're doing an in affiliate semifinal. I love that. It's 3 days. And then the top teams are going to go to the CrossFit Games.
Yeah. One team from affiliate.
One team per affiliate.
Which is kind of crazy, because if you think about it, it's been multiple teams since 2012.
Yes.
That was the first year that they allowed multiple teams into the to represent an affiliate.
That's right. So everyone starts, affiliates can have multiple teams in the open.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have multiple teams in the open.
Yeah.
And then you got to choose.
Which means you have to have a team going into the open. Because in the past, what we've done is we've had the whole gym represent a team. Right?
And the top 20 affiliates worldwide will move on to 2025. All team athletes from their respective affiliates are eligible to compete in the in-affiliate semifinals. I suspect that they don't say here what percentage of affiliate teams can qualify for the in-affiliate semifinals. So I'm thinking it's probably 1% also.
Probably.
I'm thinking it's 1%.
Is that a detail
that would be pretty
not listed?
Yeah, it's a detail that's not listed. Although I think it might have to be a bigger number to get more teams, because you're only talking about, I think it's got to be a bigger number.
Could we go back to the 10% or something?
5%? Yeah, maybe it's up for the teams,
or maybe it's the 2% like the Masters.
Yeah, but there's way more Masters than
that's
teams.
True, that's
think
true.
About it, because it's number of affiliates.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So if you would, so let's assume 10,000 affiliates participate in the open, and of that, probably how many teams? So say 2,000 teams.
Yeah.
1% is 200 teams in semifinals.
Which
Hang on a second. That's 20 teams. 1% of 2,000, 10% is 200.
Okay.
So it's got to be 10%.
Yeah.
If there's 2,000 teams participating or 3,000 teams participating, 10% would be 300. So it's got to be like 10 to 25% of the teams. We'll find out.
The top 20 affiliates worldwide will
go to the games. Yeah. But I think if I remember my numbers, I didn't look. I apologize for not looking. But I think last year it was like there's about 4,000 teams competing in the games. In the open, I'm sorry.
In the open. Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About 3,500 to 4,000.
And it was top 25% that moved on to the quarterfinals from the open.
Yes. No, but that was the region.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, that was region.
Got it.
Worldwide, I think it has to be 10% at a minimum.
Yeah.
25% probably likely.
And then to make it interesting. There.
And from there, top 20 move on.
That's cool.
And you can only have one team per affiliate.
Yeah.
Choose wisely.
I'm curious what the rules are going to be on that one.
Yeah, so am I. What's really kind of funny is there's a number of gyms that have multiple teams.
Oh yeah,
at their affiliate.
We were one of them,
and they're in panic mode now.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to
totally imagine.
Yeah,
you've been training year round into this point.
And all of a sudden you're like, hey, it's going to be cool. Two teams, and the two teams get to train together and compete against each other.
Oh, just imagine what that's going to look like. Yeah, now.
And so now what do? So you go individual.
Yeah.
Or do you try and find another affiliate?
Or do you just continue to train against each other, and then the best team moves on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if anything, that's just going to rise the level of competition between the teams within the affiliates, because now they're competing against each other.
Well, sure, but that's not going to happen.
you think it's just going to create 100% divide?
100% no. These athletes, bullshit. These guys are all going to desperately try and find a way to get
Talking about affiliates or training camps?
I'm talking about both.
Okay.
I'm talking about both. There's no way the affiliates go, let's train together and the best team wins. Bullshit. You show me that team. That's bullshit.
Oh, it's like Reposado versus Anejo.
It's bullshit. There's going to be all the drama. I know teams.
Yeah.
We've been around teams. Yeah. There's going to be all the drama.
There's going to be all kinds of drama.
They're going to be trying to figure out, I'm better than her on the team. What's going to be hard is the competition to make the team.
Well, that's kind of what I mean. Like, is how do you decide what that looks like?
Okay, fine. They're going to decide that right away. But then all those athletes that are on that second team are going to try and find a home.
Yeah,
they're either going to have to go individual, which they might do, but chances are they're probably going to try and go somewhere else. Here's what I think is going to happen. Is like Rich Froning, for example, because he was just on Mayhem. I follow him and their amazing channel and their amazing content that they produce. They just did a kind of a tour Rich's house thing, and they showed his barn and his basement. He has multiple gyms. He has a gym in his unbelievable gym in his basement. He has two gyms in his barn, and then he has the main
affiliate,
Mayhem. Then he has the main Mayhem thing, and that's got a side gym. He could literally have each one of those be an affiliate. Mayhem basement, Mayhem garage, Mayhem barn, and then Mayhem.
Yeah, but do you have to have a separate address for an affiliate, for multiple affiliates?
No.
I'm sure CrossFit's like, bring it on.
Yeah. 2035 Mayhem Court, Suite A.
Oh, fuck.
Suite B, Suite C. Like, it's the easiest thing in the world.
So he's going to be fine. Their teams are going
to
be fine.
Yeah. He's just got to get, look, you want to be on a, you want to be on a team to go to his games? It's going to be $1,000 for athletes, because it's $4,000 for the affiliate fee.
Yeah.
So it's four athletes. You're going to each pay $1,000 and you get your own team.
Yeah.
And he gets his little garage.
That's just the base. That's just base in.
That's one way to do it. And the other way is to start driving around the local affiliates going, hey, guys.
Yeah.
How'd you like to have a team at the games? We will wear your brand name for your logo. If you're an affiliate and you got these athletes driving up wanting to start a team in your gym, please pull out your mission statement and read it and reread it. Talk to your friends before you make that type of decision.
Yeah, it's a good point. Because that can be tough, especially on a small community.
It's tough. Tough. We have one athlete come in that wants to just go to the games and be on our team, and it created drama.
Yeah.
In a gym with almost 500 people and members, it was so hard for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So the teams.
I have a clear understanding of what's expected.
This as an affiliate owner. I love this one team. Yeah. That's it. One team. Just force the affiliate owner to make a decision. Yeah. Here's your team. Everybody else, good luck to you.
Yep.
Keep training hard. Maybe you'll make the team next year. That's the way sports is for all of us as we grew up in sports, right? You either made the team or you didn't.
Yep.
I skied in college. I never made the A team. I was always on the B team. And I tried hard. I tried hard to make the A team. Wasn't good enough. Sucked it up, and I trained with the B team. And every once in a while, they'd have these big meets where I could go and I could ski competitively. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like every third event, they would allow the B team to ski.
Yeah.
And all we did was try to challenge and make the A team faster. So that's cool.
Yeah. So teams to age group.
Yes. Then, So with this new age group, because I like age group too. Mm-hmm. Although, again, we're missing.
There's some details that are.
Well, hang on a second. So it's open. And remember, open in affiliate semifinal. And that's April. What's the weekend there?
It's April 3rd through 6th.
Wake up. April 3rd through 6th.
Yeah.
So that's the beginning of April. Yvonne's going to be happy because that's not during her birthday.
Yeah.
But for some of the masters like Yvonne, so my wife's competitive. She's been to the games multiple times. This was no big deal. She's like, okay, cool. One less thing for me to do, the quarterfinal. And everybody knows if you know, here's the, again, another statistic that, you know, people completely ignore about this with the Open, and especially where it concerns the age groups. You could probably pretty much pick the top five age group athletes just from the 3 weeks of the Open.
Yeah.
You can look at it and go, okay, I know who's
moving on.
Yeah, and I know who's, and you could probably pick the podium pretty
maybe a couple bubble athletes.
You could pick the podium pretty
yeah,
you know, almost far, probably with like 90 to 100% accuracy.
Yeah.
In some cases.
Yeah.
From the Open. So putting in a semifinal, that's what that does is the semifinal. Well, what it did before is when we had the quarterfinals, is it just gave more
time.
No, it gave more chance for more people to participate.
Yeah.
And be part of the process.
Yeah.
Which was cool. But now you take that out and you got the inaffiliate surface. That's serious, right? Mm-hmm. And now you have a chance to weed out the riffraff, the ones that can't lift heavy, the ones that can't do complex gymnastics, the one that can't do the handstand walks and all that shit. Mm-hmm. You weed that out with the semifinals.
Yeah.
Then you get the best candidates for the games.
Yeah.
And they don't have dates yet.
Which is 2%. We got 2% going into
the
age group.
Yeah.
It says 2% or 200 athletes. Minimum of 200 athletes.
So Jamie made that point before we got started.
After the Open, the top 2% of the Open finishers or minimum of 200 athletes move on to the age group division for the in affiliate semifinals.
Yep.
So in the past, like, we've had top 200 athletes. I mean, how many years was it top 200 athletes that moved on to the next round of qualifying?
Yeah, many times.
It's been a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in a sense, like, if anything, I think it was 200 athletes from quarterfinals that moved on to semifinals.
Right.
I think that's what it was, because we still had 25% last year for the age group. But what this does is that, like you said earlier, it puts more emphasis on the Open matters. You have to be able to participate and perform during the Open, the 3 weeks, show up healthy, put out some good scores, and then you get to move on to the semis.
Let's look at this chump. So this bro was in 2024. He was 156. So I made it in 2024. I made it.
Yeah.
I would have made it to semifinals last year.
Yeah.
This is the Open. I would have made it in 2023.
Yep.
2022 was not a good year.
No.
That's the end of the 55 to 59. So that's when I was
59. That's before you aged up.
59. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
But I would have made it every year.
Yeah, before that.
Before that.
Size 19. What happened 19?
2019. 434. No. Oh, 2019. What was 2019? That was not a good year. I thought it was probably handstand push-ups or something like that, or wall walks.
Wall walks. I think that's when they introduced wall walks.
First year wall walks.
I think that's what it was.
Oh, man. So how do I stop sharing my screen? You told me that. There you go. Thank you. Share your screen. So you're right, Jamie. That it's always been kind of 200.
Pretty similar, yeah.
Yeah, it's very similar.
So not much has changed in that aspect. It's just there's one less weekend to commit to.
Yeah, my friend Tim Dimmel was all pissed off because he you know, he's like, oh, he might not have made it a couple of years. But, you know, look,
maybe
get serious and get more fit. And like, and really, I think what it does is it makes the age group kind of serious, right? It, you know, like these guys are training to go to the games. Mm-hmm. And being in the top 2% is means you're serious about it.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
You and I talked about this a little bit and we made the point, like there's probably some athletes that shouldn't have done the quarterfinals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meaning
they loading skills from a risk versus reward situation. Probably not.
And they were, you know, it was cool, but the reality is some of those workouts when they got to quarterfinals, like,
yeah,
ooh,
yeah,
right. And it's, you know, it's neat to be able to qualify.
Yeah.
But the ones that are going to the games are the ones, and I know you and I were at the games, at the mm-hmm. Masters games, and you saw these athletes that were there, and it didn't matter what age group they were in, yep. from the 65 plus to the down to the 35. These people trained.
Yeah. They should have prepared.
They did their mobility. They had their gear. Like it was, they all had coaches. Almost everybody yep. had a coach there.
Mm-hmm.
Extensive warm-ups. They're very serious about this. Let me just interject this editorial opinion at this point regarding the Masters. Jamie might know what I'm going to say.
Maybe.
Stop using fucking drugs to perform as a Masters athlete in the CrossFit Games. It is the
should be a no-brainer.
Stop using drugs to compete
in yes. general. Fuck.
If you want to do all the HRT, TRT stuff,
don't compete.
Don't compete.
Work on. Worry about your health. Yes. Worry about your health. If that's your concern, worry about your health. Don't worry about fucking competition in sport.
Thank you. You are ruining it for the people that are doing it right. You are ruining the fucking sport, and you're ruining the brand of CrossFit.
Yeah.
Because you have people now looking at those amazing.
Oh, they're
masters.
Not natty. They're not natural.
Right. Exactly.
Get
right.
Fucked.
That's right. They have created this perception that the fit old people like myself are using drugs to get where we are, and we are not. And there are so many that my wife, I cannot defend my wife enough. How hard that woman works. She is so committed. Drives me crazy sometimes.
Every athlete that we've had out of here.
Yes.
Everyone.
Yeah. Just absolutely just the work ethic, the nutrition, the mobility, they take it serious. And when you take drugs to compete, you ruin it for them. You ruin it for the brand of CrossFit. And we're trying to spread this religion around the world to make people healthy, and you're fucking it up. Stop. And if you get caught, you should be banned. My opinion yeah. is everybody should be banned for life. Done. And the obligation is on you to prove yourself innocent. Yeah. Enough.
And if you happen to prove yourself innocent, maybe that's where you get like a couple year ban.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're coming out on top, you're fucking done.
Is so good now. Stop, Masters. Stop it. You're going to ruin it. They're going to kill the sport. You're going to kill the sport altogether.
Yeah. How many tested positive at the games?
So there's probably, I think it was none.
I think I remember seeing a detail that there was none.
What do you mean?
At the games, like in Texas.
Oh,
there was no games. Yeah. It was just out of the Masters this last year.
It was just Masters. I thought you're talking about the Masters. How many?
No. I'm talking about like from the individual. Right. Like no. Like I remember a detail. Like there was.
There was.
On it.
They did. There was zero positive tests. And then of course you get the haters and say, well, that's because the test's not good enough. Well, fine, whatever. The testing, first of all, is really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're testing the number of athletes that they think, and then they're doing random testing as well
throughout the day.
Yeah. And stop this shit with Tia. I've seen this too. Tia's taking drugs. Tia has way too much at risk. Tia gets tested during the season because they get the call. So I remember Alessandra Pacelli, she would get the call.
Off season.
Yeah. She had to report where she was all times. One of the reasons why she retired is she got tired of reporting everything where she was. Like, you know, just to take a vacation.
I remember she was at Wadapalooza and it was like,
yeah,
out of nowhere, random question. Like, hey, we need you to test. And she was in a place where she was like, fuck, I can't like get there right away. I mean, she made it happen. But
yeah,
I mean, that's a lot of added stress that you have to like kind of
sleep with throughout the year.
They test the top athletes and they do random testing and everything else. It's so, but Masters, stop. It's stupid. Yeah. You look stupid. Like you clearly didn't excel in high school or something. You got some ego issue that's keeping you that you're now trying to manifest that, you know, inner athlete, top athlete performance. Now, sorry,
let it go.
Sorry, it's too late. Let it go. Impress your friends. Stop taking PEDs. All right.
Or don't.
Enough. My rant's over. Let's go to the, that was the age group. So the age group.
So we talked about age group.
It will. I'm really looking forward to dates on the games and everything because people do like to book travel.
Yeah.
It's really important to book travel.
One thing that I'm kind of bummed about, though, with the age group is the fact that down here it comments on that. I mean, it's not the fact that it's like the Legends and the Pitt Team Throwdown are running it again, but it's that it's two separate events.
Oh, that the Pitt Teens and the...
Yeah, the Pitt Teens and the Masters hosted by Legends is two separate events, which last year they fell on the same weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Well, hopefully there'll be different weekends.
Hopefully, yeah. So that's... I mean, again, it comes back down to...
Jamie, let me ask you this. Do you think that they could have run those two events simultaneous at the same venue?
Yes.
Okay.
And I say that because they also had 400 athletes and teams.
Oh, never mind.
That didn't qualify to the games.
That's right.
So, yeah, they could have.
That's a good point.
Logistically, they could have.
That's right. Because the Legends ran, and those guys are amazing. They, you know, they're small complaints, but for the most part, my wife's experience was awesome. My experience was awesome as a fan watching. Jamie's experience as a coach was awesome.
It was okay.
There's some things. No, I know there's some things that he.
There's a detail as far as like not being having access to athletes during the warm-up period. I mean, they did make some adjustments going into the second day, but when it came down to the very end, we had one issue with a score, and we filed an appeal, and they were fucking right on it. Yeah. So that kind of like brought me back. Okay, well, they're doing a good job here.
Yeah. And hopefully I'm sure they'll learn from the experience.
Oh,
absolutely. The warm-up area and stuff. But they ran a fun comp.
Yeah.
And at the same time, which I cannot believe I was them, I never would have done this. I don't have the capacity to do what they did. I would lose my shit. I can't even, you know, have a podcast that goes bad and not get mad. These guys ran a whole separate team event.
Yeah.
Teams of four athletes, so Masters.
About 100 athletes, another 400 athletes there.
Yes.
Yeah. How many athletes, how many teens do you think competed in the age groups?
Total teens?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So
there's
two age groups.
Yeah.
Men and women. So that's four groups of 20. So that's
40,
80. So 80 to 100 athletes. Easy. Yeah. Could have handled that.
Yeah. 1,000% could have done that.
All right. But that's not happening. So they're going to be two separate events and hopefully they're separate weekends.
Yeah. That's my one little gripe for this new update.
Okay. So then the adaptive athletes, Dave was on and he really complimented. It was really cool. Cause he really complimented Kevin Ogar, who is one sarcastic son of a bitch and just a great dude overall. Like as a region manager too, at the same time.
Oh,
and
wow.
He does this, and then he does this wheel wad event. And the wheel wad guys, they ran a really cool event.
Yeah.
I watched more adaptive athlete performances in that event this year than I've ever watched of adaptive athletes. Yeah.
Which is kind of nice because it was a separate weekend. A separate weekend altogether. They had their own weekend to do this.
In a small venue.
Which is those are fun. Small venues.
Yeah.
It was intimate, you know?
And you think about... Okay, so running at Masters with all the different age groups was tough because there's some adjustments they had to make with weights.
Oh, yeah.
But the adaptive athletes, you guys...
That's another animal.
You guys think about...
That's a completely different animal.
Right. All the different classes of athletes. Yeah. And then one, validating all of that information. Yeah. And then creating workouts and accommodating those different movement patterns that everybody has.
Yep.
And making it competitive and fun. It was freaking amazing.
Inspiring.
Again, there's another thing. All of these people that are running these events, by the way, would be really good wedding planners. Like that's their second career after they're done doing organizing CrossFits. Kevin Ogar, wedding planner. Because all this shit you got to think about.
Yeah.
I would go nuts. I wouldn't sleep for days.
Nope. Leading up to it, yeah. A month out, you'd be like,
Diablo at one time, and thank God for Jamie Lee too. Yeah, because at one time we were running four comps a year.
Yeah.
Four comps a year, and we would do a few of them here, and then we'd do one or two of them in other locations. And we'd bring all the equipment to different locations, and we'd get hundreds of athletes participating in these events.
Average Joe's, Deuces Wild, Masters Madness, and Rose and Betty's.
And hats off to any affiliates that are still doing that. Thank you for doing that. If you do that, more affiliates need to do it. Jamie works on me all the time because he wants to try and do events again.
I've got a few in the chamber here.
I have PTSD from event running.
I got a few in the chamber, and you can come and just spectate.
But Kevin Ogar, you're a stud. The guys at Legends, Joe and Bob, I think that it is, that run the Legends, you guys are studs. It's awesome. Whoever's doing all of the on-site individual events, all of those companies, hats off to you. People bitch about you. They have no idea what you're doing. There's always
me. What, 1,000
the Waterpalooza voices. Guys, the like you said, the Syndicate guys, the Torian guys, all of those guys, hats off to you. That's just a thankless, brutal job.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, let's get to the community open, because this one's cool. So we've gone through, holy crap. We talked about Masters 2%.
Yep.
Oh yeah, let's go down to the Community Cup.
Yeah.
Because this is cool. And Dave didn't give a lot of details on the conference call about this. But it's essentially going to, from the Open, so you want your community to do the Open. And people say, well, I want to just do the Community Cup, I won't do the Open. But because the Open is going to determine your ranking.
Yeah.
So they're going to place some emphasis
a level
on that ranking. Let me share my screen again. I'm going to share my screen. Where is it?
Close the one.
Oh, present.
Yeah, you might have to close out because you have the previous one. You can only share one screen at a time.
Oh, can I show it? Oh, there it is.
Yes.
Yeah, but will you pull it up?
So you have to pull it down. So see down at the bottom?
Yeah, to pull it down.
Or at the top, hit stop sharing.
And then present again.
And then re-present. Yeah, the new window.
Thank you. And let's go to Craig Howard. Boom. All right, so look at this. So here's my scoring, but here's my ranking. I'm a level 10. Now, level 10 is the highest, so I need to sandbag the Open is what this is telling me, so that I get a lower ranking.
I think it's not just based off of the 1 year. I remember seeing something they talk about. They take data from a couple years.
Yeah, so it's a ranking from 1 to 10, and I think also it's adjusted by age group. So I'm a level 10 in the men's 60 to 64.
Because you did semifinals, you did the semifinal online this last year.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So there's men 60 to 64. I'm a level 10. So I'm going to be paired up with, they're going to use that score, that ranking score, to essentially determine how your community scores. There's no details on it.
No.
Put that schedule back up. You have it as a separate stage. That's cool. That's going to be in June. All right. So
yeah, this is like right before the games.
So this is cool. So what they're doing is they're going February to March.
This is good timing. Get people excited for the games.
This whole thing is good. Right. Think about this. So they're going February to March with the Open. Then they start the in-affiliate semifinals, which are going to go April through May. They're going to have the in-person semifinals in June, all the way through April through June. And then they're going to have this Community Cup in June. So they're like, the energy level is going to be high.
Yeah. Yeah.
July is going to be the off month.
I think it's great to come back to the Community Cup too, right before the games. Cause you think about it, everybody's kind of like, that's cool. I'm not competing. I'm not part of it. I can watch the games on TV when it comes out, but this is going to get you kind of back engaged with the whole sport, right before the games, essentially.
Yep.
As they're closing up the semifinals and the qualifying rounds.
Yeah, so no details yet on the Community Cup. It says all athletes who complete the Open and submit scores will be able to continue their season in their affiliate with a new competition, the Community Cup. That is really cool. It'll be a unique format for local athletes to compete against their peers based upon their level during the Open.
Ranking, yeah.
And so then affiliates that are interested will receive details shortly. So I'm interested. Whoever at CrossFit, I need to let know we're interested. That should be really cool.
So wait, you have to reach out to them? Is that what I said?
Well, I kind of gathered that.
Affiliates that are interested in host. Oh, maybe in hosting a cup.
Yeah. And that might be.
So this might be like multiple events. Yeah, it kind of spread out.
Not only that, it might be multiple affiliates at different locations.
Like kind of like a crosstown throwdown setup.
Yeah, kind of. That's I don't know. We're completely speculating on it.
Absolutely.
Scroll down to the new Paris competition because this is the other thing I'm really excited about. We did the team series. There was a team series of two and there's a team series of four. You remember those competitions, yeah. Jamie, online ones? Those were so much fun. We really enjoyed those competitions. And it was just because we knew it wasn't, you know, it wasn't for the games. It was just, oh, you're just competing, you know, for fun against each other.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really cool is that the top pairs in this competition, so in the pairs competition, the top pairs are going to be eligible to go to a competition hosted by the Masters Fitness Championship. Which is another good group of people.
Mm-hmm.
They run a competition in December in Arizona that everybody has said is amazing. So you're going to get be able to chance to partner with any athlete. This is the best part. You can pick an athlete. So,
You don't have to be
anywhere
in the world. Affiliate. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So you could have a friend that trains at another affiliate halfway across the world.
Yeah. So if you're a Masters, I imagine there'll be like Masters divisions. It'll be done by age group. So if you're a Masters athlete and you're trolling some other athlete around the world, you can hit them up and they're slide into their DMs going, hey, how'd you like to do a competition together?
Which will be interesting because I'm curious, does it say about the qualifying round?
Yeah.
I would imagine it's maybe it's based off the open scores to qualify. And then, okay. So that could be interesting.
Yeah.
Getting together and doing a partner competition with somebody you actually haven't trained with for a while.
Right. So I got to look for, and I probably got to stay within my age group. So I'm instantly thinking like Cheryl Brost, you know,
if she'll take you.
Yeah. If she'll take me, Annie Sakamoto, China Cho.
Well, that's the other question. Is it,
I don't know.
Male, female.
We don't know. And I would imagine they keep it in the same age groups, right? So I'd hit up Shannon Aiken in my age group because the guy's a badass. But Shannon probably wouldn't have me. He'd hook up. He's like,
he's gonna be like, bro. So Craig, how much work have you done on your mobility in the last 5 years?
he'll make me do an overhead squat on video.
Show me weekly that you're on a foam roller at least. Some prerequisites here.
He's already looking at my open scores. He's going, I don't know.
Well, you qualified last year, so there's
I qualified, but I didn't make it to the games. Shannon Aiken's in the games category, and some of these Masters, dude, they're just unbelievable. The amount of volume they put in. Look at my wife. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous. I'm not sharing my screen anymore. Let me share. I want to talk about this real quick. Share screen. What am I going to do? Share screen. I'm getting
same spot where you shared screen last time.
Window. Oh yeah, here it is. I can do it
down at the bottom. You got to go to present.
No. I got it. I want to show. Here's the stuff that, look at this. So this is the stuff.
Oh, okay.
This is the stuff that was
open resources. Okay.
I don't know if I'm allowed to share, but I'm sharing it anyway. In November, there's an affiliate owner guide, credential, business reminder, sure, good standard. Participate in the open, right? So there's a guide that's going out. Make sure everybody's got their shit together because there's a panic. Mm-hmm. Always, right before the open, these guys tell me, these poor region managers, again, always go, I need to bring my affiliate. I need to bring my, make my affiliate current. Get your affiliate current. Come on, owners.
Just had it done by now.
You want this to work, then you make it work. Oh, don't
make sure you're certified.
Let's talk about judging before we get done with this call. Yeah. All right. So then, there's the campaign blueprint. There's marketing assets. This is way more than we really.
This
ever
is
had.
All in the affiliate toolkit.
Okay. Yep. And then there's a owner success, a 3-part series with a best practices on preparing for the open, and then all kinds of social media stuff.
That's cool.
Stuff we never have. Stuff that we had to hack and make ourselves.
Make yourself.
That look like crap.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's cool. And then there's a whole series of calls that they're gonna have too. Let's talk about the rules. Pull the rules up. The judging.
Yeah.
So the affiliate owner's got a bunch of stuff. All right, now this is the judging. This is the part. This is probably one of the best parts of this whole
thing. This is a huge upgrade here.
First of all, affiliates, get your shit together. Don't allow sloppy standards in your affiliate. You do not. Look, well, A couple things. You just don't want to end up on a Hiller video. Like, you don't want your gym on there. Like,
yeah, you don't need to be putting yourself on blast that way.
And what's cool is that for the in affiliate semifinals, like, they're going to make it public.
Yeah. That's
your,
awesome.
Your videos, if you do the
in, there's no more keeping it unlisted.
Yeah. You can't keep it unlisted or private. Can't keep it private.
Yeah. Cause when you would have, would you be able to send it private? I think you had to have it unlisted.
Oh, you had to have unlisted.
Yeah,
which means you had, you know, for people can find it unlisted, but it's just
they just got to do some hunting.
They got to do some hunting.
Yeah.
But so a couple of things. One, if you're the judges have to be level ones in the semifinals. Great. That's awesome. So that means only CrossFit coaches.
Yep.
So you have to have a current L1.
You're more likely to have really good standards.
You have to have completed the 2025 judges course. That's the basic judges course. And then there's a new advanced judges course that they will have to complete. And what's good about that one is that one lasts 3 years. So you'd have to do the advanced judges course for the semifinals.
Yeah.
And that lasts 3 years. So that's awesome. I like that.
So that's nice. Cause it's not have like, will be released soon. So if you do it this year, you wouldn't have to do it again for another couple of years. Is that what that means?
Yeah. You wouldn't have to do it for 2 more years after that. So you
what a great idea.
Yeah. Well, but phenomenal idea. And then, so additionally, here's the best one. Individual and age group athletes will be required to submit all workout videos for public review by anyone who has taken the judges course. Not just advanced judges course, anybody that's taken the judges course. So if you've taken the judges course, you can log in and you can watch semifinal videos.
Yeah.
And then you can give
it the thumbs up or thumbs down.
That's the way they used to do it. And that creates some pressure. Like no one wants to put a video up and have shit standards on
it. Well, kind of that was the idea of like why you would want to be training in an affiliate, because the affiliate could actually validate your score versus having to do it in your garage and film and then let the interwebs be your judge.
That's right. By having a more robust judging experience in the affiliate and public transparency of all videos, we will move the sport forward. Agreed.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, really like this. And they're, you know, look, he's like, well, it's a money grab. They're trying to get, you know, judging. Okay, so what? You know what?
How else are you going to move the sport along?
Go buy your $10 latte and complain to yourself. I get so frustrated with all that. This is awesome. I enjoy this. I you know, in summary, just, you know, my whole summary of this thing, the 10% that loss of 10% is a bummer.
Yeah.
For the age groups and the 25% for the regions. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Because there's we have athletes here that aspired to do that and they were really stoked when they made it. Mm-hmm. And they were really proud of it. They, you know, they put it on their, you know, Instagram and everything else. That's awesome. That loss of that is a bummer. However, I feel like the burden that it lifted from the affiliates will make the experience much better in the affiliates.
Very good.
Provide some relief for the affiliate owners to allow them to have a much better in affiliate experience, in affiliate competition, in affiliate semifinal competition experience. Yeah. When that comes, there's going to be less athletes doing the affiliate semifinals because only the top 1% of individual athletes, top 2% of the masters. And we think we're totally guessing maybe top 20% of teams can participate. And so there's going to be, and there are, those are all on different weekends.
Yeah.
There will be in-person individual competitions, semifinals, so that people want to watch those, they can.
Yeah.
And I imagine they'll be the best ones with the best viewing, with the best media content coming out of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the games will again, the best.
See the fittest. We'll see. Gonna see the fittest.
Yeah. The best athletes are going to be there.
There's going to be no question.
Yep. Now, hopefully, they'll release the games dates soon. Yeah,
and location.
We weren't going to speculate about that.
I mean, it would be great to have a location. Like Zia was saying yesterday, she always books out hotels in three different cities just in case.
Let me, I try to avoid creating too much speculation, but it is interesting that the CrossFit Games destination was not posted.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there was probably a longer-term deal structured with Fort Worth. I will say right now, I'll openly say that I would gladly love to see a return to Madison.
Yeah. It's a really cool spot.
It had such a nice feel. You were in there. You could move around freely. Fort Worth had some limitations. It is a beautiful facility when you're in the venue.
Yeah.
When you're in the competition venue, it's amazing. It makes the sport look really good in there. Mm-hmm. Outside of it, it's a lot of cement. It was hot as hell. You had to check your bags to go into the vendor area, mm-hmm. or you had to, you know, go through the screening. That was usually anywhere from a half an hour to more than an hour wait.
Yeah, if you're trying to get in to see an event.
And then whatever you bought in there, you couldn't bring back into the arena because they had that whole clear plastic.
Yeah, that's a big
clear
bummer.
Bag view requirement. Yeah. Oh, it was a bummer.
Yeah,
it was really hard. And there were not a lot of restaurants near the venue. Mm-hmm. The hotels were a drive. They were not walking distance. Mm-hmm. So it was, there were some limitations there. And I'm hopeful that if they do are able to move it back to Madison, and I'm biased because I love driving out to Madison because mm-hmm. it heads up north and you go through Yellowstone, like that whole experience is awesome. And then the RV park in Madison was unbelievable.
Yeah.
In Fort Worth, you're in a cement parking lot and it was about 200 degrees,
dead hit of summer.
Oh, and your air conditioning just ran 24/7. I didn't do the RV experience. I didn't hear anything about the RV experience in Fort Worth.
It seemed like that sounds like a good idea.
And I think for a reason we didn't hear about it, because anybody was doing it was like, holy smokes, this is hot.
I mean, the RV setup in Madison was so cool. I mean, like, you got the little ponds behind you. Yeah. It's green.
Dude, the bikeways in Madison. So,
it has more
of an aroma slash feel to it.
Well, you said it's the fittest city in the country, right?
So we're hopeful. And then the Legends guys will probably go back to Birmingham.
You think so?
I'm thinking they would. That venue was really nice. You know, Birmingham, it's not a bad city. Mm-hmm. We got around fine. The Airbnb was fine. The flight there was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, because you can't take a straight shot.
Right, and they can't take a straight shot. So the travel time was a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
But the venue was really freaking nice.
It was nice. It was attached to the hotel across the
street. Oh, yeah, and it was attached to the hotel across the street, so that we were comfortable there. But anyway, let's see. Hopefully the games, we'll find all that out soon enough.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add, Jamie, on all of this?
No, just excited to see another change.
Yeah.
Moving for the better.
Yeah. Change. Look, and if it changes next year, that's the CrossFit Games.
Well, it's like what they say with, you know, when you're coaching in class, you know, like you got multiple classes back to back, you do your first one and then you take what was good and what wasn't good and you adjust.
Yes.
Go forward to the next one. Keep constantly making it better. Kaizen.
Yeah. Kaizen. Constantly improving. All right, guys. Thank you.
Till next time.
Cheers.
And... Mm-hmm.